The difference between personal legalism and corporate legalism is that is like this. You're perfectly fine, or you're perfectly in your right to practice personal legalism. But you have no right to put your legalism upon everybody else. Okay? Let's say, I'm going to give you an example. I made a decision a long time ago that I will practice personal legalism in the area of alcohol. Okay? Drugs, things like that. And sometimes I go to a restaurant and wine sounds really good. And drinking wine is not bad, right? You know my life, it's like this. Up and down, up and down, up and down. And now I can see why the Lord kind of confronted me on this issue. I've never really had drinking problem or anything like that. But He wanted me to stay for me. To stay away from that. And so I practice personal legalism. I don't drink. And I'm glad I don't, because with so many ups and downs, I'll be a casual drinker at first, and then I'd be an emotional drinker. Happy, let's get drunk. Ooh. And you know, the Bible says that drunkards do not inherit the kingdom. Some of you are looking at me like, so drinking is okay, but getting drunk is not? Yes. You can have a glass of wine if you're old enough, if your conscience allows you, if your body doesn't demand alcohol. Yeah, it's not a sin. However, I know that you never know. What if you have that in your family, alcoholism in your family? You got to be careful. You got to bring everything into consideration. Your dad maybe was drunk, and now, or your mom or your grandpa, and it'd be so easy for you to get drunk. I've had drug addiction in my family, not in my mom and dad, but my uncles and stuff. And I said, I will not try drugs. I'd rather not know how it feels. Instead of knowing how it feels, and then I feel on the low, and I need a little high. Right? And so I get some. Start calling people around. I know it is. Hey, do you know anybody? Amen. So I practice personal legalism. However, I'm not going to put it all on you. I'm not going to come to church and say, our church does not drink at all. And if you drink, you have to leave. Well, if you're an alcoholic, you have a problem, yeah, I will talk to you. Because you're living in sin. But if you have it with dinner, different story. Although I do encourage you not to even try it. Okay? But I'm not going to put a law on you because you're not under the law. Now, why is it bad to put law over somebody? Because you're trying to change behavior without changing the heart. And that's not what I want to do. And that's not what Jesus came to do. Law was working for 1,000 years trying to change the behavior. And all it did, it made people act a certain way. In public. I'm tired of acting. I don't want to act. I want to be changed on the inside. And the more we act holy on the outside, the longer the process is prolonged. So that's why we shouldn't be just living a double life. We should try to come out as soon as we can. And say, I got issues, I got problems. Lord, I need your help. And Bible says this, if we shouldn't hide the works of darkness. We should bring it up and into light and expose them. Guys, if you won't do it, personal experience, if you won't bring your dark things into light, your dark place things will float into life when you don't want them to. They will, whenever, and you see these huge ministers and preachers, and they've built these huge ministries, and then 55 years old, one preacher, and comes out of the closet, And it's like, Lord, you know the work that he built is going to crumble. Another pastor I know who was greedy for gain and money and was building this empire, and then it just crashed completely to 25,000 people church, many sister churches crashed, and there's nothing. Now he's building again, hopefully on a good foundation. We don't want to build things and then at the moment that we need it, climb to the top of the ladder and then find out that the ladder is leaning. And as soon as you take one more step, one way or the other, it's just going to fall. We want to build our life on the right foundation. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So these Pharisees, they were trying to put personal legalism upon Jesus. And Jesus says, oh no, you don't. Don't you dare come to a wedding and say, I'm fasting. So everybody has to fast. Don't you dare do that. And look what Jesus said. And Jesus said to them, can friends of the bridegroom fast while bridegroom is with him? What it tells me is that there's times to fast and there's times to party. There's times for a wedding. There's seasons. There's for weddings and party, and there's seasons when you need fasting. So listen, I'm not telling you that you need to fast. Maybe everything is going great in your life. You got a new job. And you want to go celebrate Red Lobster or something. Don't go fasting that week. And there's times when there is low in your life. Valley of shadow and death. Because life is walking through highs and also through the valleys. And listen to what Jesus says. They cannot fast, he says, when there's a wedding going on. It's a happy occasion. But there is time, but the days will come, verse 20, when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and they will fast in those days. Notice Jesus didn't say, maybe they'll fast. He said, they will fast in those days. So there's days when there's a party, and there's days when party is taken away, and then you will fast. So fasting is not a matter if you want to or not. Just like parties. It's not a matter if you'll have them or not. You will. In your lifetime, you will have many parties. Weddings you'll go to. Celebrations you'll go to. Amen? And you don't want somebody to come to your wedding and say, I'm fasting. Do you remember when a prodigal son came home? The older brother decided to fast. Doesn't say that. I'm just speculating. But he decided not to eat that time. So there's times when you celebrate. And you celebrate. There's times when you weep and you beg God for mercy and grace. Amen? Hallelujah. So Jesus said, there will be time and they will fast. Now, fasting is voluntary act of abstaining from food for the purpose of gaining the favor of God. Mercy of God, grace of God. Amen? All right. So maybe you don't need it now, but you will need it. The purpose of fasting is to help you deal with difficult issues in life. It's not when things are great. Fasting is for when things are maybe not so great. Amen? And we see many scriptures for that. Now, there's three levels of fasting, okay? Three levels of fasting the Bible talks about. Three categories, okay? And how much you fast is determined by the size of your problem or goal. Okay? There's three levels of fasting. There's 3-day fast, 21-day fast, and then 40 days of fasting. There's no one day. There's three levels of fasting we see in the Bible. And obviously it could be 1, 2, or 3. There's 7 days of fasting. There's 10 days of fasting, you know. But there's three general categories. And how much you fast determines the size of your goal. Now, let's talk about 3-day fasting. What is 3-day fasting for? Okay, let me tell you 40 days fasting. Jesus went and did 40 days fasting. But he was led there by the Spirit. Let me tell you something, three-day fasting is not. And I've practiced three-day fasting. It's not something you have to be led by the Spirit to do. Three-day fasting is something you choose to do for the purpose of something. It's a regular fast. You're not going to die from it, you know. It's a fast. And let me give you what three-day fast is for. It's done for repentance, number one. Three-day fast is done for repentance. Let's say you committed a sin you never thought you're going to do. You judged other people and said, oh, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you did it. And then you fell into sin. One thing you should do is, and we see this in the Old Testament, is people would repent in prayer and fasting, and they would tore up their clothes. Okay? Now, a lot of us repent like this, and that's why our repentance doesn't change us. We repent like this. We do a sin and we say, Lord, forgive me. Thank you. I receive it by faith. Amen. We don't cry about it. We don't have any godly sorrow. Maybe we do it because we got caught. Amen. That's not the godly repentance. Sometimes you have to go before the Lord on your knees and you have to cry. Guys, maybe some of you will need to get in your car and drive for 2 hours and repent and cry out and say, Lord, I never thought I could do this. But I did it again. Oops. I did it again. And it's not a laughing matter. You're so serious in front of God. You actually fast. You say, Lord, fasting is a tool of keeping grace. You're not fasting to be saved because you're already saved. You fasting so that sin would leave your life. Now, guys, let me ask you, girls, maybe you struggle with lust. And all you want is 3 steps how to get rid of lust in your life. Well, you can get 3 rules how to control your body. But I don't want to change on the outside anymore. I want my heart to change. And Jesus came to take away the law or to fulfill the law. So I want Him to change my heart. I'm done telling God, God, please help me act better. I don't want Him to help me act better. I want Him to change my heart. So my behavior comes out from the heart. I don't want no law to restrain me anymore. I've been a Christian too long, and I've acted too long as a Christian. How many of you acted too long as a Christian? And then you go back to your room and you look like a hypocrite to yourself because all it is just acts. You're just able to control your body. You have great willpower. Oop-de-doo, great for you. Right? No, I don't want that anymore. I want God to change my heart. My prayer is, Jesus, you came to die. You came to take the law. You came to bring a new age. I want that power of the gospel to change me on the inside. I'm tired of acting. I don't know if anybody else can feel the pain that I'm tired of acting. I'm done acting. I want you to see me how I am. Because maybe I'll get embarrassed and maybe I'll change. Maybe I'll allow God to really go deep and change me. Because I don't want to, you know, do it on my own anymore. Amen? Hallelujah. So 3-day fasting is done for, help me out, repentance. Now, if your repentance is fast, you most likely you will commit the sin again. Guys, remember I told you a story about my lying? When I was younger, I used to lie. Small lies, you know. And I hated it. And how God got rid of lying. It was a process. It was painful for me. You have to go through the process and you say, God, I'm done with this. Because a lot of you repent too fast without even thinking about it. There's no sorrow. There's no, you know, shame and saying, God, I can't believe I did this. And that's why you repeat it. Again and again and again. So maybe 3-day fasting, your body will you train your body and say, hey, if you do this again, no food for 3 days. No food for 3 days. And guess what your body will do? Ooh, ooh. Sorry, boss. I won't do it again. So 3-day fasting. Now, don't go 40 days fasting for a sin. 3 days is perfectly enough to take your body under submission. Amen? What else is 3-day fasting for? For protection from your enemies. Do you remember the story of Esther? You remember how her people of Israelites were going to be destroyed. And they called Mordecai, and Esther called the fast of 3 days. And she was going to go before the king. And God gave him great victory. So maybe you, young people, let me talk to young people. Maybe you met somebody. Instead of going dating and seeing where it's going to lead, we know where it's going to lead. We know where it's going to lead. Right? Who doesn't know where it's going to lead? Dating is like a ramp that goes onto the highway. Once you're on the ramp, you can't go back. You got to pick up speed. So dating is like your car going onto the ramp into going on the highway. Once you start driving, you will pick up speed. So instead of going and saying, oh, Lord, I'm going to date this guy. I'm going to see how he is. You know, see if we match. Drive a car, you know, test drive a car before I buy it, you know, type thing. Don't do that. Maybe go before the Lord and say, Lord, there's this person. He could be a potential husband or wife. Yeah. Maybe, you know, and go before the Lord in 3 day fasting. Listen, you'll save yourself so much headaches. And pray like this, Lord, if it's the right one, then let it click. You know, there's chemistry. You know, when somebody doesn't like you, you'll know it. And you like him. What can I do for you? You start acting again. Yeah. I like shopping. Yeah. Yeah. Let's go have a pedicure. Yeah. Yeah. Manicure. Yeah. Oh, you like that? Yeah, I like that too. Shut up. You don't. Amen. Come on. Go before the Lord. Girls, maybe some of you have been dating a lot and you're tired of it. And you're like, Lord, nothing is working. Don't do it the way the world do it. They live together. They test drive. Then they bring it back. They get another car test drive. And it just a lot of test driving and tire kicking. Okay? Don't do that. Go before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to get married. I don't have a gift of celibacy. Okay? First, you gotta discover, do you have a gift of celibacy? You know, if you do, don't get married, you know? But if you don't have a, you know, gift of celibacy, God blessed you with all your energy and emotions, then go before God and say, God, 3 days, that's it. This person, is it mine or not? And if it's not, Lord, then let the feeling go away. Let the person go away. Let it not click, you know? Let it not click. Listen, you'll save yourself a lot of headaches. You'll save yourself a lot of pain for the future. Because dating and breaking up, then dating and breaking up, and dating and breaking up, it's like practicing for divorce. Because next time you're married and things go bad, what do? You've been there before. You just didn't have a document, legal document binding you. But you've been there before, so it's easy to get divorced. Yeah. Yeah, except... No, but we're different. We're not of the world. We're different. And so God gives us tools of how to do it right. Some of you guys, you're just looking, always looking for a girl. Just make up your mind. Come on. There's no perfect woman out there. Except mine. But... Guys, make up your mind. Look at how many girls we have in this church. Stop looking forever. Pray. If God says yes, go for it. Come talk to me too. And your parents. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. If I know this. If you're hiding your date already, it's not right. No, it's not right. If you're hiding it, if you don't bring it to your parents or your spiritual parents, you know, to the pastor or your youth pastor, it's not right. It's not going anywhere. It just feels good, yeah. But hey, it's like a boomerang. You throw it and you don't think it's going to come back. But it's going to come back and smack you in the head. Yeah, and then you're like, oh, what happened? Why is my life so broken, Lord? I'm a Christian. Yeah, but you didn't do it the God's way. A lot of so much pain in this world. And then people say, well, am I like Job, suffering like Job? You're not. Job was righteous and above, he was the most righteous man in the East. It was testing of God on his life. You made your own choices. And for some people out there who didn't know better, you know, we have mercy and kind of compassion, more compassion on them. With you, you heard so much of the truth. Guys, I still love you. I'll still feel for you. Just a little less. No, just kidding. All right. I'll feel for you. I'll love you. For me not to love you is a sin. Do you know that? Vice versa. For me not to love you is a sin. He who does not love his brother does not walk in light, but in darkness. Okay? So I do love you. And I want what's best for you. Let's say you want to buy a house. Or maybe you feel like moving. You know, maybe God is moving you to a different state. Or a different church or something. And a lot of you people move to a different church because they're mad. And they're like, the Lord is moving. No. Listen, fast. Take 3 days of prayer and fasting and say, Lord, is this my flesh or is this you? And if it's you, then it's all going to be in peace with the blessing of God and the blessing of the church and the pastor. And it's going to be done right. But if it's not, a lot of people just move. You know, they go to California. They go to Florida. And they just move. They think that they can escape from their problems. You cannot escape from your flesh. It's going there with you. And here you have a church for support. And up there you don't know anybody. So be careful. 3-day fasting should be a regular thing in our life. As far as when decision time. 3-day fasting is also used for protection. If let's say you have an enemy rise against you. You're being persecuted by somebody. Let's say girls or guys, maybe there's somebody in school or at work who's talking trash about you, making all kinds of accusations and lies against you. You can hear it almost in your spirit, in the back of your mind, that somebody's talking about you. Maybe there's a boss or manager who is just hates you, doesn't like you. That's the opportunity to go before God and say, God, I humble myself. Maybe it's me, Lord, but maybe it's them. So protect me from them. And watch how God will work in your life. Also, when there's mental illness coming to you or your family, that's where it's important to take 3-day fasting. Maybe you're being attacked by, what do you call it? Anxiety attacks. It's all from fear. Do you remember disciples of Jesus tried to cast out a spirit out of a boy who was a lunatic? Do you remember that? He would throw himself in the fire. Actually, the spirit that was in him would throw him in the fire or in the water, try to kill him. And disciples tried to cast out that demon, and they couldn't, because Jesus said that kind comes out through prayer and fasting. Amen. So maybe you yourself is struggling with some. I've had people call me, Pastor Felix, my mind, I'm struggling. My mind is confused. Maybe you should fast, and not only you, your whole family should fast for you. You fast, and you bring pastor or pastor's team, and you have them pray, and God will deliver that person. Demons flee. For some reason, fasting increases your spiritual power, guys. Every time when we fasted as a church, what happened? Demon-possessed people started coming here and acting out. And I don't cast out demons when you don't act out. But when you act out, I go after you. Same with Jesus. Jesus just kind of, you know, would preach. And then a man in the synagogue, remember, would act out. If you act out here, I'm going to cast out a demon out of you. And that's not what I meant, but it works too. How many of you are getting this? I mean, we're learning, right? Hallelujah. What else is 3-day fasting for? For humility, for breaking the power of sin in your life. Maybe you got moodiness and just, you know, it's not a sin, but you're just always moody and angry. You got a negative, what do you call? And you can't help it. I know what I'm talking about. You just can't help it. You're just moody. You're just depressed. Is that the right word? Depressed? Just down. and you can't lift yourself up. You're just down. You feel down. 3-day fasting will do great things for you. And you don't have to pray and be led by the Spirit. This is something you go in and do. That's why sometimes 3 days fasting is harder than like 7-day fasting. Because the first 2 days, 3 days is like the hardest. That's where your flesh is being weakened. And once your flesh is weakened, your spirit comes through strong. Then crazy things start happening. And God says, you will call on me and I will answer you. And your light shall arise. In Isaiah chapter 52, where it talks about fasting. We'll go there next week. 21-day fasting is fasting for a vision in your life. A lot of you come to me and say, what's my purpose in life? What am I supposed to do here on earth? Where are we going? Right? You remember Daniel? He didn't know where his nation stood as far as timetable goes before God. And so he went before God and God revealed to him his future and God revealed to him the future of the nation. 21-day fast is where you go before God and say, God, where's my ministry going? Now, 21-day fast is not a day that Daniel did was not without food. He didn't eat good food. He didn't eat candy, didn't drink pop. He didn't eat any meat. It was just bread and wheat bread and vegetables. So he didn't allow his body to eat good. He starved a little, not starved his body, but he just ate scarcely. And what happened was, angel of the Lord came to him and told him his ministry and the ministry to his nation. Some of you right now are, you don't know where you're going. You're like, Lord, I know I'm cold. Lord, I know I am chosen. I know you have a plan for me. I know I'm in this church, but I don't know what to do. What should I do, Lord? Lord, where is my life going? That's where you go. Because no doctor cannot tell you where your life is going. Psychologists cannot tell you where your life is going. Sometimes pastors cannot tell you where your life is going. But God can reveal. He can open doors. And you're standing, there's 3 doors. And which door do I take? And God says, this one. And it's the right one that changes the course of your future. You don't want to try and fail all the time. There is a tool that God has given us called fasting. And if you go before the Lord, if you humble yourself. Remember, 3 days is for repentance. And then seeking the will of God. Always, first 3 days is like repentance. Okay? And then you keep going. For seeking the vision for your life and your ministry. 3, 40 days fast. 40 days fast is seeking for God to empower the ministry that you already have and know that you have. Okay? Jesus, before he started his ministry, he knew what he was called for. God already revealed it to him, so that was not the issue. He needed his ministry to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's the fasting that you should be led by the Holy Spirit. But don't do it without first fasting a few times, at least 3 days fasting. Don't go into 40 days without even fasting 3 days. You know, your body, it's a shock, 40 days. Not everybody should do it. Actually, only few people do it. Next week, I will talk about the power of fasting and what it does in the throne of God. Moses had to fast to be empowered to lead people. I've never fasted 40 days. I kind of tried to do partial 40-day fast, but then I failed. I think we did, I didn't even do 21. I did 15, I think, days of partial fasting. And it's hard. You have to be led there by the Spirit. Sometimes you almost have to disconnect because when you work and you have people bring lunch to work or, you know, everybody's going for lunch and lunch is like the best part of your day. And, you know, and you're like, I can't do it. So you might have to go and rent a cabin or find a cabin that you can go to and lock yourself up there. No TV, no computer, no phone, no nothing. Just spend time there. But that's where you ask God, God, I need power for the ministry that you have called me to be. And I know someday I might have to do that. I just don't want to. And I know maybe you, some of you feel like God is calling me to 21-day fast. And you're like, that's like almost a month. That's like one out of 12. I got so much to do. I'm so busy. I can't do that. But if you want supernatural in your life, and as much as you want of the supernatural in your life, you will sacrifice your food. And Jesus said, it's not that disciples will have to fast. They will fast. Now, there's times when there's a wedding. Don't fast there. But there's time when life, you will know. Your life, your spirit will tell you where you're at in life. When you're before a major breakthrough, you might have to fast to break actually through. Amen?